into his box. He just runs right in the pack. I wonder if he's got damage. Look at that tire. Almost went into the crowd as well.
Almost went onto the front straightaway. Elio trying to get sneaky. And then...
Maury Rose, the two-time winner, takes the lead from Faulkner. That's the way they finish the first lap.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt is here. We have a ton of Hungarian Grand Prix stuff to get to. I don't really know where, honestly, to...
Ocon won.
Yeah. The driver I have been most critical of won the race, Esteban Ocon. But like I told Matt right before we recorded, I started recording, I did pick him on my fantasy team, so I don't know why.
Don't even say it.
It was probably just dumb luck. I'm not saying like I'm a genius or anything. It was dumb luck. But I mean, listen, it was a weird race. We had both Williams cars in the points. Potentially an Alfa Romeo and Raikkonen in the points, depending on how the Vettel investigation goes. So, I mean, Mick Schumacher was 12th, maybe 13th, again, depending on the investigation. And even though he DNF'd because of Raikkonen, Nikita Mazepin was technically 14th, even though it doesn't count. Where do you want to start? What do you think of the first lap cluster?
I'm just not over the Ocon one.
Do you know how many text messages I got asking me if I was okay when Esteban Ocon won? It was like you would think somebody in my family had passed away. It was like, hey, are you okay? You okay, buddy? Oh my God, Ocon. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, guys. I mean, I get it. Like, it's funny. Don't get me wrong. I can laugh at myself. But God damn.
Anyways. Yes, congrats to Ocon. I mean, you know, people try to diminish it, but he didn't make any mistakes all day. So at the end of the day, he controlled what he could control and brought it home. I think that first lap was atrocious. I mean, first of all, Bottas didn't get a good start off the line. And I kind of saw it happening as it happened. Like, I was solely because, you know, Lewis was gone and Max was gone. So I'm like, okay, well, those two are just going to get through the first turn. So my eyes started to wander back to Bottas, and I saw him miss his braking zone and run into Lando. And then I saw where Lando's trajectory was going, which was right into Max. And then I saw Bottas hit Perez all in one foul swoop. And my brother, who knows nothing about racing, was sitting right next to me. I'm like, that asshole just took out Red Bull and Norris, that mother... And then a lot of words you don't want to hear. So I was quite upset. I missed the whole Stroll Leclerc thing, Ricardo. I saw Ricardo spinning, obviously, but I didn't see Stroll just go, you know, insane into turn one and just destroy everybody. So that was quite unfortunate, too, because, you know, Leclerc makes it out of turn one. And if Hamilton still botches the strategy, then it's Leclerc who wins. So,
yeah.
That's pretty heartbreaking, but and then obviously Perez.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.
stopped on the lap one and looks like they lost an engine, which is terrible news. It's like double whammy. Max's car was super damaged, so his race was pretty much confined to not finishing last. I think five place grid penalty is very light. I would have been more comfortable with a suspension.
I would go with a 10-place grid penalty. I'll split the middle. I don't think it's suspension-worthy, but five does feel light.
But it's just, you have to look at the circumstances and not just like, oh, driver A took out driver B, C, D, and E in turn one, therefore it is X.
Yeah.
Driver A took out a guy who finished in the points 15 races in a row, a championship protagonist, and the championship protagonist's teammate all in one turn. All because he missed his breaking point like an idiot. So to me,
it wasn't on purpose. Suspension should be something purposeful.
No, I mean it's not on the purpose, but you still just can't act like a moron. And to me, that's where again, it was the rivals he took out, and his teammate got away free.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he proceeded to whine the entire race. Like, yeah, your team didn't do, and we can talk about that too. Like, your team didn't do you any favors with the strategy call to leave you out there. But, like, at some point, you just got, like, he came back to third, so, like, or second. So, like, good for him. But at a certain point, you just got to put your head down and go. Like, I know running in traffic in Hungary sucks, and I know you're behind slow cars, but you just got to, like, make the most of it and move on. Like, whinging to your team every lap doesn't solve anything.
Yeah, you know what's really annoying is kind of prior to the weekend and then Lewis after the race kind of talking about Sebastian Vettel's pride shirt and mask. Great human being. Lewis, the whining race car driver because the team, you know, didn't get the strategy right there on the restart. Annoying as hell. Like, it's almost like two totally different people. And the crazy thing about the restart is, so on a formation lap at the start of the race, yeah, you're not allowed to be on the radio to the team, which is kind of a dumb rule, but yeah, it is what it is. But on the formation lap leading up to a restart, even if it's a standing restart, you are allowed to be on the radio. So the team definitely, like, I don't know, and it's probably one of those things that not many people know, and I didn't know until our guest from a couple weeks ago, Matt from Missed Apex podcast, tweeted something about that. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that was easily avoidable, but it happens, and yeah, like you said, just shut up and put your head down, and you still finished at the worst third, depending on how this Vettel appeal goes.
Yeah, and I also thought it was pretty rich to get mad at Alonso for defending so hard into turn four.
Yeah.
Alonso left a car with, which is more that can be said about Silverstone.
Was the Alonso defending of Hamilton for, I don't know, what was that, 8 laps or so? Maybe a little less than that, a little more than that, give or take. But that was probably my favorite Alonso moment in his return to F1 so far. Like, not even close. It was epic Alonso driving.
Yeah, I think it's his best moment since
his Ferrari days.
Yeah, like 2012-ish.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything in like 2013 that was like super standout, and nothing's really... No. Nothing like iconic.
Yeah,
that's really helps his street cred. Maybe you'll stop picking him for being out in Q1 now.
Yeah, we'll have to go over our predictions because
I did not pick him.
I did write them down.
Okay.
Yeah.
His defense was amazing, and I had no issues with how he was defending Hamilton. I mean, it's another one of the situations, again, I think it's just the mentality that Hamilton has. He has the best car. He is perceived to be one of the best drivers. He probably thinks he's the greatest driver out there. I would say top three for sure. And one of the world's best drivers, but just because you have all these accolades and that fast car doesn't mean people are just going to move over for you. So he had to do a little bit of earning it on Sunday, and I definitely do think he earned his P2, but he did not overtake Alonso in a manner that would have gotten him P1 because he needed to do it a lot quicker to get up to Vettel and Ocon. So good job, Alonso. He gets a big pat on the back for that win as well.
Williams. Let's talk about Williams.
Yes.
when the restart, when the red flag lifted and you saw Nicholas Latifi in third place, were you confused? Like, is there a timing and score error right now?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as the accident happened, I had tweeted that Russell was on for some points, because you think about it, and this is prior to Mazepin being out, but four cars that for sure finished in the points every week in Bottas, Verstappen, Perez, and Norris all got taken out. So there's four spots potentially open. Leclerc is pretty good for some points. It's not a guarantee with the Ferrari, but it's...
But for the most part.
For the most part, it's pretty good. Looking pretty good. So that's five. Ricciardo, Stroll, could or could not. Depends on the week. But you look at, let's say that's 5.5. There's about 5.5 more vacancies for points that don't normally exist. And so those are filled in by, like, Latifi, Russell, Tsunoda. And then, you know, the Alpines aren't shoo-ins for points every race. So, for Latifi to be Russell, I thought was pretty crazy. And congrats to him. I know he gets a bad rap because he's being compared to George Russell every race, and he doesn't outperform Russell hardly ever. But, you know, I think when it mattered in the one race out of, I don't know how many they've had together now, 30-something.
Yeah.
He made it count. So good for him. And then for George, too, I mean, yeah, you could see how emotional he was. And they both got elevated today, technically, with Vettel being disqualified, which we can talk about next. But so now they got even more points. And I have to check. I think we had a bet on, or it was one of our predictions. I think you said that Williams was going to score one first over Haas. I can guarantee I said Haas.
I think you said Mazepin would. No, I'm sorry. That's between the Haas drivers. Sorry.
I did say that Alpine. Or no, you said that Alpine was going to fall most in the standings.
Yeah, well, that's why you don't bet based on what I say.
Damn it. I said the you first driver fired to be Ocon, and he just got a new deal.
Yeah, so screw you.
Who will score the first points? Haas or Williams? Yeah, you had Williams. How many months before next Williams story press conference video on Twitter? We haven't had one yet, have we?
No, just ongoing Twitter battles.
Story time.
Just get a jingle.
Yeah.
So Vettel.
I don't know what to think about that. I mean, I see why the rule exists, and I think if the rule exists, then it should be enforced. So in that sense, I get it. I'm just intrigued as to what Otmar is saying, that they can find 1 liter of fuel throughout the car somewhere, which I'm not entirely sure what that means, and I guess goes back to technological ignorance on my part, but I'm assuming he's referring to a way to take apart the car in some fashion and find the fuel or something.
Yeah, I think it's... So, from what I understand, I forget who wrote the article, an F1 car has multiple fuel pumps within the car. So if a fuel pump fails, there could be fuel sitting somewhere like in the innards of the car and is not easy to access post-race. So that's where the appeal came in. Based on all Omar's calculations and the team's calculations, they should have had their 1.74 or 1.44 liters of fuel remaining and not 0.3. So I don't... Listen, it's one of those rules. It's the rule. It is what it is. We've seen people get in trouble for it. Dan Ticktum got in trouble for it last year in F2. I think Vettel also had an issue with it in 2013, I was reading. I forget the year, but it was in his Ferrari years, I believe. Anyway, it's kind of a weird rule. If you're testing the fuel for additives or whatever they're doing with it, I don't know why a half liter or a third of a liter isn't enough fuel to do the test, but nonetheless, it is what it is. I hope they find the fuel, because I think Vettel had a hell of a race, and I am growing to become more of a Sebastian Vettel fan
lately. Yeah, I agree with I think it's a shame to lose the podium in that way, especially for a team that's only been up there once already, and you know, could definitely use those points, especially since Alpine's one of their biggest rivals. So if Alpine ends up getting 37 points on him instead of, I don't know what that math is, 17. I think that's a huge, that's a huge difference. So, and plus he earned it, you know, I mean, he got a bad start, which was probably the best thing that could have happened to him, because then he kind of just sneaked on in there and got to P2. I think the Lewis starting on the line thing was probably one of the more crazy F1 things I've ever seen. I think I've never seen one car take a restart or start in Formula One history.
It was like the U.S. Grand Prix on steroids, except nobody was protesting. Everybody just realized, oh, crap, we're on the wrong tires.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was pretty wild to see. I think my dad and I looked at each other, like, back and forth, like, six times, like, wait, what's going on right now? It was pretty wild, but it will definitely be, I can't wait to see that unfold on Drive to Survive. Drive to Survive this year is really going to have some, it's going to need to be like 46 episodes now. We're just adding 7 episodes per race at this point.
Yeah. It's between the last two races, and now we have like a 28 day break till the next race, which is pretty sad, but I think Spa's next though, isn't it?
Spa's next. Yeah, it is. The weekend there is no IndyCar, so like the 28th-ish, I think. So, yeah, just 26 more days or so. So, summer break. It's kind of nice how the IndyCar July break and the F1 August break kind of don't overlap for the most part. So, we've had racing most weekends all summer long, which is really fun. Do we have anything else from the race? Technically, Vettel is still second while they take apart the car, wherever they're doing that.
Well, so you said that Bottas shouldn't be suspended, but what was your take on the whole thing?
On the Bottas thing?
Yeah, just the first lap.
Yeah, he screwed up. It's you're 100%. He messed up. I don't think he did it on purpose. It's pretty embarrassing that he took out essentially every rival. And, I mean, listen, I saw plenty of funny memes about, hey, Valtteri, you can keep your Mercedes drive next year if you take out everybody. And, well, he succeeded. I just feel like a 5-place grid penalty is pretty light, because even if he qualifies first or second or third, he's still starting in the top 10. And, you know, a 10-place grid penalty or force him to start from pit lane for the egregious nature of his error, yeah, I can get behind that. I think a suspension's a little bit rough, but it was a bad mistake, and you could see it happening. I don't know why, but I saw he was 0.6 or 0.4 seconds slower off the line than Verstappen right in front of him. If you look at his starts, for the most part this year, they've been pretty terrible. And I remember last year in Turkey, was it raining, or like the track was super slick and guys were sliding everywhere, or Imola, I don't remember. Either way, he was super slow off the line there and lost like 4 or 5 positions. So he's clearly struggling to get off the line at more than one, well, pretty much everywhere. And if he wants to save his job, he needs to do so. But let me ask you this. We've got, you know, the summer break now where you'd imagine silly season will go into overdrive. We might even see a resolution on who's in the second Mercedes. Do you think Bottas come, you know, knowing what we know now, will Bottas be, will we have a resolution for that seat before summer break ends? And do you think it will be Bottas?
No, it won't be Bottas, but no, we won't know for a while.
Okay. I agree that it won't be Bottas. But I disagree and say that it will be announced in 2 weeks.
You heard it here first.
We're starting rumors. So I guess that's pretty much it. Oh, let me do the prediction recap. Thanks to our pal Frenchie for hanging out with me and doing the F1 shows. Okay, recap. Surprise Q3 elimination. He had Stroll. Let's go to Q1 and qualifying here. Stroll did make it through all the way to Q3, so no. I said George Russell, and I was correct.
Wow, you picked the guy in the Williams.
Yeah, but he's usually... this is the first time he hasn't made it to Q2 this year. So it's like a decent pick.
Mm.
Dark Horse top 10, Frenchie had Giovinazzi finished. He finished somewhere. He finished 13th. I had Yuki finished right now 6th, maybe 7th, so yay me. Bad weekend. Frenchie nailed this one with Ricardo, although, kind of got a bunch of damage in that opening lap accident that definitely slowed him down throughout the race, but we'll give him that one because I had Carlos Sainz, who at worst finished 4th. Missed that one pretty bad. Good weekend. Frenchie had Lando, swing and a miss, no fault of his own. I had Perez, also swing and a miss, no fault of our own. And then we added an extra one in. Would there be drama between Red Bull and Mercedes? And there was a second part of that question, which I didn't write down, but we both said yes. I'd say there was plenty of Red Bull Mercedes drama there at the first lap. So, yeah, lots to go on there. I don't know if we have too much news-wise, but one thing that I have learned today, which today is Monday, recording a day earlier than normal because of my travel schedule, is Zandvoort in the Netherlands could be on the chopping block due to new COVID regulations that have come into place. So we will see on that one. I think the last race of the year is still TBA, if I'm not mistaken.
There is one venue that hasn't been confirmed.
Yeah. So still some uncertainty in the schedule. I don't know. I guess we'll find out on that one. But, yeah, do we have anything else? No? Are you enjoying your F1 21 gaming so far, or are you struggling as many people are frustrated with it as well?
I have yet to encounter a frustration, if I'm being honest. I have not had any of these glitches out there that have been mentioned. I think the only thing that caught me out a couple times is just a random curb here or there that didn't react as it did in the previous game. But yeah, as far as the gameplay, it's fine. There's some things. Obviously, I wish the historic tracks were here. I wish the short tracks were here. I wish when you did career mode that the teams were weighted as they are now instead of last season. So like Aston Martin, formerly Racing Point, is the third best team in career mode, but we know now that that's certainly not the case, and that McLaren's the third best team, so it should be weighted appropriately. But those are things that are hopefully gonna, like, it wasn't that way when the game started last year too. Like the teams were out of whack.
Yeah. And yeah, Ferrari was like super good last year.
So I think they'll get to it eventually, but I wish, I wouldn't mind waiting an extra month if that meant the game was more ready than just rushing it in July.
Yeah, I agree. I just finished my first season in my team's mode, so that was fun. Fred retired after one season with Alpine.
Rude.
Yeah.
Not Kimi.
Not Kimi. But yeah, I think that's all we got. No F1 for a month, but there is IndyCar this weekend, so check that out. We'll be back next week. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something. If there's no silly season, we'll come up with something fun. Guys, have a lovely weekend of racing.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along the Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.